Welcome to the Pumps and Systems Podcast. I'm Drew Champlin, your host, managing editor for Pumps and Systems Magazine. Here we will speak with Chuck Fernandez of Siemens, and we'll talk about variable frequency drive options to meet IEEE 519 standards. We'll explain IEEE 519 in a second, but we wanted to let you know that we recorded this podcast from WEFTEC, the world's largest annual water quality technical conference and exhibition here recently in New Orleans. So you'll hear a little bit of background noise at various times throughout the podcast. The Pumps and Systems team had a great time at the conference and connected with several of our contacts, many of whom listen to the podcast. You can subscribe to the Pumps and Systems podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and more, and visit pumpsandsystems.com to catch up all of our podcasts to this date at pumpsandsystems.com/podcast. Chuck Fernandez is a product manager for low voltage enclosed drives at Siemens. Chuck, we're glad to have you join us. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good.
Glad to have you on board. Tell us a little bit about your background. What do you do at Siemens? How long have you been there? Just anything else you want to share about yourself?
Well, I've been in the drives industry for 30 years. I started back with Reliance Electric in 1988, and I was a design engineer back then, and I eventually got into marketing. And so now I'm at Siemens. I've been at Siemens for the last 11 years, and I'm, like you said, product manager for the enclosed drive product family.
Okay, sounds good. So, you know, we'll get into this topic, and, you know, what is the best drive technology to ensure compliance with IEEE standard 519 in municipal pumping projects? First off, what is IEEE 519? I know it's commonplace in your industry, but just explain what it stands for, what it means, why does it matter?
Sure. Well, IEEE 519 is a standard that everybody uses. It came from IEEE, the organization, Institute for Electronics and Electrical Engineers. It's a standard that defines the limits on current and harmonic distortion that a factory is allowed to put back to the utility. So that's basically what IEEE is. And the reason it's important is because any distortion affects everything in your plant. It affects how your motors run. It affects how long they last. It affects how long your computers last. It affects how efficient those are. So that costs you money. If everything's running inefficiently, that means it'll use more electricity. It can make things run louder. If the harmonics are bad enough, you can hear a humming sound because the harmonics are bad. So it affects everything. But the real reason it's important is because the utilities don't want every factory that it supplies power to be putting harmonic distorted signals back to their grid. So they have to control it. And so the standard is what everybody tries to follow in order to make sure that the grid stays with a nice clean sine wave instead of a very choppy, messed up sine wave.
Okay. So can you give a brief description of the different IEEE 519 compatible VFD configurations?
Sure. And there's a lot of them, but there's five main technologies that everybody uses, and they're constantly developing new technologies. But right now, the main technologies, the first one is the most basic. It's a six-pulse drive with a line reactor. And that one it doesn't meet IEEE 519 by itself. It needs help. In other words, it's not going to meet. So typically, IEEE 519, the distortion levels have to be in the 5 to 8% range, depending on your incoming, how big your incoming power is. So if you have a six pulse drive and a line reactor, it's going to be probably around 20 to 30% distortion, maybe even higher. So that does not meet IEEE 519. So you need a lot of other linear loads, and by linear loads, this is probably maybe going a little bit too far, but by linear loads, we have loads that the current and the voltage is proportional. That's called a linear load, like a motor running across the line or incandescent light bulb. Those are all linear loads. Then we have nonlinear loads, like a VFD, which is the main linear loads that messes up factories. And the VFD, basically the current and the voltage are not necessarily proportional, so that creates harmonics. So anyway, a six-pulse drive, everything's about a percentage. 5% is a good number. If you're 5%, you will meet IEEE 519. Well, it's going to be at 30%. But if it's a small load, if you have one drive in the factory, and it's only a small percentage of load, and you have a bunch of linear loads, then that percentage will be smaller, and you could still meet IEEE 519. So that's the first one, and it's the simplest. It's, you know, the product is off the shelf. You can get it very quickly. The deliveries are quick, and it's the cheapest and the smallest. But it's also not necessarily the most bulletproof solution. You won't necessarily meet IEEE 519 with that without some help. The next one is a passive filter. You put a passive filter in front of a six-pulse drive. Again, that's it's a pretty quick delivered system. You can get all these components off the shelf. The passive filter is basically acts like a true low-pass filter where it filters out the high-frequency harmonics. That one will meet, as long as you buy a filter from a reputable manufacturer, that one will meet IEEE 519. The next technology is the active filter, so you can put an active filter in parallel with all your drives, and that one basically acts like a noise cancellation headphone. So whatever harmonics we put on the line, it'll look at that, it'll goes through a current transformer, it looks at what harmonics are on there, and it'll put the opposite harmonic to offset it so that it gets back to having a clean sine wave. It's a very cool technology. The active filter is very neat. Anyway, the next one is what we call an AFE, or an active front end drive. It's an actively pulsed drive, and it has a clean power filter. Some people call it a LCL filter. Depends on the vendor you're talking to, but it has a filter in front of it. So the actively pulsed rectifier plus the filter act to give you very, very clean harmonics. It's cool technology. It's very neat, but it can be big and it can be expensive, but it does the job. And the last one is the 18 pulse. The 18 pulse is, or I should say multi-pulse, because it could be 12 pulse, it could be 24 pulse. The most common in the industry is the 18 pulse, where we have a transformer with three secondaries that are all offset by 30 degrees, and since they're offset, since the phases are offset, the harmonics kind of counterbalance each other, so it cancels each other out, and you come out with a very clean solution with that one with that one also.
Okay. What factors should be considered when selecting the correct solution to meet IEEE 519?
Yeah, and this is really the real question. Really, they should look at their complete system, and they should look at what kind of problems they want to solve. So, which means they need to look at everything, right? They need to look, do they have room? If they don't have room, then maybe they have to choose the smallest technology. Maybe they have to go with the six pulse with the reactor. Or maybe it's a retrofit where they have an existing drive and they don't have room for much of anything else, so they can't really pull it out and put in a big active front end drive or an 18 pulse drive or an active filter. They can't do that, so maybe the passive filter is the right thing to do, to just put a passive filter in front of their existing drive. Maybe that's the cheapest solution for them and the best solution. Maybe they have power factor problems, in which case maybe the active filter or the active front end would be a better solution. So the key is they should look at what kind of problems they're having, and they should look at their complete system to decide what solution is best for them. And I think there's a trend in the industry right now to basically saying this is the best solution, and I don't think it's true. Right now they should look at their system and decide what problems they want to solve and what problems they could have, and decide what the right technology for them would be.
Okay, well, why not just choose the least expensive or the cheapest option?
Right. So again, if they choose the cheapest option, it might not be the cheapest for the total cost of ownership. So they might choose the cheapest one would obviously be the six pulse with the line reactor. That's the cheapest solution. But in that case, you don't necessarily meet IEEE 519 without some help from linear loads. So that might not be the right solution. So you might say, well, okay, what's the next cheapest? Well, then the passive filter might be the next cheapest. Well, the passive filter doesn't work as well with backup generators, so maybe that's not the right solution. So they really need to look at their complete system and their problems that they could have, or the problems they're trying to solve, to decide what solution is the right solution.
Okay. So the trend in the industry has moved more toward the active front end and the active filter solutions. Why has this technology become so popular?
Well, the simple answer is it's cool stuff. It's really neat technology. They can do power factor correction with those two solutions. They can do voltage imbalance. They can fix voltage imbalance. They can ride through a longer power dip ride through. It has a bunch of advantages, and so a lot of people are pushing that technology. It's cool stuff. It really is. Neat technology.
Okay. What about some disadvantages with the active front end and active filter options?
So the big disadvantage is, it's expensive. I mean, both of those solutions are expensive, especially if you're doing a one-to-one solution. For example, the active filter, if you have three redundant pumps, you don't have to size it for all of them. You can size it for one. So that's a big advantage for the active filter. But if you're trying to do it one-to-one, if you have one drive and you have one, you're trying to put one active filter on there, it's probably the most expensive solution. It's not really good for that situation. Again, you need to look at all your problems. You need to look at your system to decide what the right thing to do is. The other thing is these technologies are all microprocessor controlled. So there's setup. You have to set these drives up, and you have to make sure they're set up correctly. We've had situations where we've worked with all these technologies, and you can get them all to work, but we've worked with one particular active filter manufacturer, and they didn't set it up right, and our drives kept tripping, and finally they just took the filter out. The customer took the filter out and said, forget it, because it wasn't set up correctly. Now, they went to another filter manufacturer later, and they got it working. So you can get it to work, but it's complicated and it's not simple. You have to make sure it's set up correctly. The other thing is anything that's microprocessor controlled, things can go wrong, right? You can get incorrect feedbacks into your microprocessor and make the wrong decision. You can get nuisance trips. It doesn't necessarily fail, but you can get nuisance trips. The other thing is those two technologies, which are, again, they're really cool technologies, but they also have probably the lowest mean time between failure because they have the most components. So it does have its advantages for sure. They're very, very neat technology, but it also has disadvantages also.
Okay. So 18 pulse VFD has been the standard in the water industry for so long. How would you describe that, and why was it so popular?
Well, the big reason it was popular is because it was simple and it was very robust and very reliable. So, especially if you don't have a big maintenance staff, it's one thing if you have a big maintenance staff to maintain these other more complicated technologies. But if you don't have that big maintenance staff, the 18 pulse drive is really, it's kind of a dumb rectifier with a big hunk of metal in front of it. There's really nothing to fail there. It doesn't fail. It doesn't trip. There's no microprocessor controlling the front end. There's obviously microprocessor controlling the inverter section, the drive section, but the front end is just a rectifier, diode rectifier. So we don't have the nuisance trips. We don't have the failures. We don't have to do anything different with a backup generator. If you have a backup generator with the active front end, the active filter, you have to set up that drive and you have to go into backup generator mode, have your customer turn on during startup, have a backup generator turned on and run from the backup generator, make sure it's set up correctly, make sure it's working. With 18 pulse, we don't do anything different. It can run from the backup generator, it can run from the utility. Doesn't matter. So the biggest reason it was so popular is just because people felt the risk was very low. It just didn't fail.
Okay. What are some disadvantages of the 18 volts?
Well, the disadvantage is it's big, it's heavy. It is susceptible to voltage imbalance because I told you the way the 18 pulse work, it offsets the different secondaries of the transformer so that you cancel all the harmonic distortion gets canceled out since it's out of phase with each other. So with voltage imbalance, if it's imbalanced, that doesn't work correctly. It ends up not canceling out as well. there's a little bit of a myth there that that's a big disadvantage, because if you have a voltage imbalance in your factory, you have a bigger issue. You know, the motor manufacturers, they require you to derate the motor if you have a big voltage imbalance. So if you're trying to clean up harmonics and you have voltage imbalance, your big problem is the voltage imbalance, not the harmonics. But the 18 pulse does have some disadvantages. The big thing is it's big and it's heavy, and like I said, it's susceptible to the voltage imbalance.
Okay. It sounds like a complicated subject, but what basic advice would you give to someone trying to make a decision between the different IEEE 519 solutions?
Well, if I were them, I would take a look at their complete system, see what kind of issues they're having. If they are having power factor issues, then maybe the active filter or the active front end is the right solution. If they have a very small maintenance staff and they being down is really going to be a catastrophic thing, then maybe 18 pulse is the right solution. If they have a retrofit opportunity, then maybe a passive filter is the right solution. If they have a cost problem, maybe the 6 pulse with a reactor is the right solution. So my big advice to people is, if somebody's telling you there's only one solution, that means they're trying to sell you something and they're not looking at your best interest. So my advice would be, look at your problems and figure out which solution is the best for you, as opposed to just saying, okay, the best and most expensive is this one, so we'll use that one. Or this solution is better for this reason. Look at everything. Don't look at just one thing. Don't take advice of one person that said this is the best solution. Look at all your issues, all your problems, all your potential problems in your complete system, and then make a decision from that.
Okay. Well, that wraps up this podcast on VFD options to meet IEEE 519 standards. Chuck, I just want to thank you so much for spending some time and educating us on this.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That was Chuck Fernandez, product manager of low voltage enclosed drives for Siemens, and that'll wrap up this edition of the Pumps and Systems Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, CastBox, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Please leave us a rating and a review. You can email me, Drew Champlin, DCHAMPLIN at CAHABAMEDIA.com. DChamplin@CahabaMedia.com. Let us know what you think about the podcast, what you'd like to hear. Until next time, we will talk to you soon.